Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
All right, well today we've got some pretty interesting stories lined up. We're going to be talking about the government taking some action on cloud security.
Okay.
We've got a hacker who's facing some serious time for stealing payment card information. And a potential ban on a popular brand of routers. But we're not just going to like skim the headlines here. We're going to, you know, go deep, unpack the tech behind these stories, and hopefully you'll learn a thing or two along the way.
I always learn a thing or two on these deep dives. What I find really fascinating is that these stories, although they seem kind of separate at first glance, they actually reveal a bigger picture of how the cyber threat landscape is evolving. It's a pretty tangled web out there these days.
Yeah, it's a complex world. Okay, let's jump right in. Story number one, the government's really tightening its grip on the cloud. So the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, they issued a new directive ordering all federal civilian agencies to up their security game when it comes to Microsoft 365 cloud products. And they've got to get it done by 2025.
That's a pretty tight deadline.
Yeah.
You know, this directive is a direct response to a number of recent cybersecurity incidents. Incidents that have really kind of shown how vulnerable cloud security can be if it's not configured properly.
Right.
The potential fallout from a cloud breach, it's huge. I mean, we're talking data leaks, we're talking service disruptions, we're talking the whole nine yards. So this is a serious issue.
So let's get specific here. What exactly is CISA targeting with this directive?
Well, they're laser focused on a number of key Microsoft 365 products. We're talking Defender for Office 365. We're talking Entra ID, which, you know, that's what manages identities and access, Exchange Online for email, SharePoint, OneDrive for Business for file storage, even popular platforms like Power BI, Power Platform, and Teams.
Wow. So that's pretty much the whole suite. So what does this all mean for businesses? I mean, are they expected to follow suit here?
That's a great question. While this directive is specifically aimed at government agencies, it definitely sets a precedent, right? It kind of highlights best practices for really any organization that relies on Microsoft 365. The reality is that robust security, it can be expensive, it can be complex to implement, especially for smaller companies that may not have those, you know, big IT teams.
Right.
Implementing all these controls, security tools, consultant fees, staff training, it all adds up.
Yeah. And you know what? Even basic security practices like multi-factor authentication or MFA. You know, you'd think by now everybody would be on board with that, but it's still kind of a hurdle for a lot of organizations.
You're absolutely right. MFA is non-negotiable at this point in time. It's like locking your front door, but also setting the alarm system. Sure, it's an extra step. It might be a little bit of a pain sometimes, but it drastically reduces the risk of, you know, someone getting in where they shouldn't be.
So true. So this directive is basically saying, hey, get your act together before it's too late.
Yeah. And speaking of too late, our second story today is about a hacker who learned the hard way that messing with credit card data has some real consequences.
Yeah.
This guy was just sentenced to 69 months in prison.
Wow.
For his role in a malware operation that was, you know, they were stealing and reselling payment card information.
You know what's interesting about this case? It wasn't just a smash and grab job. This guy and his crew, they were using a technique called SQL injection attacks to compromise websites and steal that data.
Ooh, okay.
So it's actually relatively sophisticated. It shows, you know, a level of technical skill that you often find in these cybercrime rings. So how does that SQL injection thing work? I mean, for someone like me who doesn't understand the technical details.
Okay, well, think of a website as like a house, okay? And the database where all the valuable information is stored is like a safe inside that house.
Gotcha.
And SQL injection attack is basically finding a loose window in that house, sneaking in, cracking the safe, and stealing the goods. In this case, the goods were credit card numbers, you know, expiration dates, CVV codes, all that stuff.
Okay, so they got in, they stole the data. Then what? They sold it online.
Exactly. They use these dark net marketplaces, which are basically online black markets, right? Where stolen data is bought and sold.
Mm.
It's a shady business, but unfortunately a very efficient ecosystem.
Right.
And here's where it gets even trickier. They converted their profits into cryptocurrency.
Oh, so okay. So it's not just about stealing the data. It's about laundering the money too.
Exactly.
Like something out of a movie.
You got it. And what's really interesting is that this whole operation was actually unraveled, starting with some, seemingly small kind of local crimes that were targeting businesses in Massachusetts. And that just goes to show you that cybercrime is a global phenomenon. You know, even what might seem like an isolated incident can actually be a small part of a much larger criminal network.
Yeah, so you really got to be thinking several steps ahead in this game. And
Absolutely.
sometimes those seemingly small vulnerabilities can have some really major consequences.
For sure. Okay, well, let's unplug from this digital crime scene and move on to a different kind of threat. Our next story involves a popular router brand that could be facing a ban here in the US. We're talking about TP-Link, a Chinese company known for those, affordable, widely available
Okay,
routers.
a router ban. That seems pretty drastic. What's going on there?
Well, TP-Link is under investigation right now by US authorities for potential national security risks. Research has actually linked compromised TP-Link routers to a network of cyber attacks that have been targeting Western organizations, think tanks, government entities, even defense contractors.
Wow.
We're talking high-value targets, and the implications are serious.
Yeah, so are they saying that TP-Link is intentionally like building back doors into their routers?
Well, that's a really tough question to answer definitively, but there are some red flags. There's a history of reported security flaws in TP-Link routers, and some sources claim that the company hasn't been as proactive as they could be in working with security researchers to address these vulnerabilities.
So maybe not intentional backdoors, but like a pattern of negligence when it comes to security.
That's one way to look at it. And remember, TP-Link, they hold a huge share of the US market for home and small business routers. I mean, they're even a major supplier for government agencies. A ban on their products would be a huge, huge deal. We're talking economic impact, potential legal battles, possible violations of anti-monopoly laws, maybe even invoking the same authority that was used to ban the Russian software company Kaspersky a few years back.
Wow.
This situation really highlights the growing tension between the US and China, especially in the tech world. There's definitely a growing distrust of certain foreign companies and a big push to increase supply chain security.
Okay, so just to recap here, we've got government agencies scrambling to secure their cloud environments. We've got a hacker learning a very expensive lesson about cybercrime, and we've got a popular router brand potentially facing a ban in the US. It's a lot to process.
It is a lot, but it's all connected. You know, these stories really highlight how the landscape of cyber threats is constantly evolving, and they underscore the need for us all to be proactive and vigilant about security, whether you're an individual, a business, a government agency, whatever.
Well said. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take a deep dive into each of these stories. We'll look at some of the technical details, extract some key takeaways.
Sounds good.
So first up, let's unpack this CISA directive on securing Microsoft 365. This isn't just about checking boxes, folks. This is about protecting sensitive data, critical infrastructure, from increasingly sophisticated attacks.
Right, and this directive, it goes beyond just recommending good security practices. They're actually laying down the law. They're setting deadlines, holding agencies accountable. It's a recognition that the cloud, while it offers tons of benefits, also introduces new and complex security challenges.
It's like building a high-tech fortress, but forgetting to lock the doors. I mean, we see these misconfigurations, weak passwords, lack of MFA. These are all like basic oversights that can create huge vulnerabilities. And it doesn't matter if you have the best security tech in the world. If your basic practices are sloppy, you're still a target.
And that's where things get tricky, especially for organizations that don't have big, dedicated security teams or big budgets. It's tough to stay on top of all of it.
It is. But this CISA directive is, it's like a wake-up call. It's basically saying cybersecurity is a top priority and you need to treat it that way. And this sets a precedent, not just for government agencies, but for the private sector as well.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. But even with the best security in place, there are always going to be people trying to find those cracks, trying to exploit those vulnerabilities, which brings us back to our hacker who's, well, he's about to trade his keyboard for a jail cell.
This story is a reminder that the consequences for cybercrime are real. It might feel like the internet is this Wild West, lawless frontier, but law enforcement, they're getting better, they're collaborating across borders, and they're catching these criminals.
You can run, but you can't hide. And the penalties, they're getting steeper. I mean, this guy's facing almost 6 years in prison. And that's just for this one operation.
Yeah. And it's not just prison time, it's fines, it's asset seizures, it's reputational damage. You know, you get caught doing this stuff, it can follow you for the rest of your life. It's not worth it.
And let's not forget about the victims here. The people whose data gets stolen, the organizations that get hit, they can suffer huge financial losses, identity theft, all sorts of problems. It's a ripple effect that can be really devastating.
Absolutely. It's a ripple effect for sure. All right, well, let's switch gears here and talk about TP-Link, the router company that's facing that potential ban. This story really shines a light on the complexities of supply chain security, especially in this day and age. I mean, we rely on tech from all over the world, but that interconnectedness, it definitely comes with some risks.
Yeah, especially with all the geopolitical stuff going on. I mean, tensions between the U.S. and China are high, and there's this growing distrust of foreign companies, particularly the ones that, you know, handle sensitive data or operate in critical infrastructure. And TP-Link, with their market share and their presence in government networks, well, they're right in the hot seat.
And the allegations are serious, right? Security flaws, lack of transparency, potential ties to state-sponsored activities. I mean, these are not accusations you can just brush off.
Yeah. This could be a game changer. I mean, if the U.S. actually goes through with this ban, it's going to have a massive impact on the tech industry, consumers, businesses. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, for sure. It really makes us think about, you know, how we approach supply chain security, the role of foreign companies in our critical infrastructure. We could be looking at a whole new way of thinking about tech and security.
Yeah, it's a wild ride, that's for sure.
But it's also an exciting time to be involved in cybersecurity. The stakes are high, the challenges are huge, but the opportunity to make a real difference, it's greater than ever before.
Yeah, we're on the front lines of a digital revolution.
We are. And it's up to all of us to stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay ahead of the curve. Because in the world of cybersecurity, complacency just isn't an option.
So true. We'll be right back after a quick message to continue our deep dive into these fascinating stories and what they mean for you. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
And we're ready to jump back into our deep dive.
So before the break, we were talking about that potential TP-Link ban. And it's definitely been a hot topic.
Especially among folks who use their routers, you know, at home or in their businesses.
Right, right. It really brings up this question of, you know, how do we balance convenience and affordability against security, especially when we're talking about tech that we use every single day?
Yeah, it's easy to just go for the cheapest or the, you know, the easiest option. But sometimes those low prices come with a hidden cost, right?
Absolutely. And that hidden cost could be, you know, security holes that leave you vulnerable to attacks or data leaks.
And this isn't just an individual user problem either.
Right.
This has implications for national security, especially because, you know, TP-Link routers, they're used by government agencies and critical infrastructure providers.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that, you know, cybersecurity isn't just an IT problem tucked away in some basement server room.
Right.
It's a national security concern that requires a much broader perspective.
Yeah. It needs government, industry, and individuals all working together.
Absolutely. So what can we learn from this whole TP-Link situation?
Well, for me, it really highlights the importance of doing your homework before you buy any tech product, especially if it's going to be handling, you know, sensitive information.
Right.
Don't just grab the cheapest option off the shelf. Spend some time reading reviews, looking into the company's security reputation.
Better, yeah.
And ask yourself, is the convenience worth the potential risk?
Yeah, because sometimes spending a little bit more upfront for a product that has a good security track record can save you a ton of trouble down the line.
Totally, totally. And while we're on the topic of routers, it's also a good time to remind everyone to keep your devices updated with the latest security patches.
Yeah, those updates are crucial.
Because they often fix known vulnerabilities.
So the sooner you install them, the better.
Exactly. And for anyone out there who's using a TP-Link router, or really any router for that matter, yeah, make sure you've changed that default password, enabled the strongest security settings you can.
Right. Those are simple steps, but they make a big difference in protecting your network.
All right. Well, let's circle back to that hacker who's facing jail time for stealing credit card data.
Yeah.
This story is a sobering reminder of how real the consequences of cybercrime can be. You know, it's easy to get lost in the technical details and forget that there are real people whose lives are affected by these crimes.
Right. Real people's lives are disrupted, their finances are impacted, their sense of security is just, you know, shattered.
And this wasn't just a, you know, a victimless crime.
Yeah, not at all.
He targeted organizations in Massachusetts, I mean, including a nonprofit and a hospitality business.
Yeah, think about the impact on those organizations.
The financial losses, the damage to their reputation, all the time and resources it takes to recover.
Right, and it's not just about the data being stolen, it's about the trust that's broken.
Exactly, exactly. And law enforcement is making it clear that this kind of behavior won't be tolerated. Right. I mean, this 69-month sentence.
Yeah.
It's a strong message that cybercrime is a serious offense.
They're not messing around.
So we all have a responsibility to protect ourselves and our organizations from becoming victims.
Absolutely. Okay, let's shift gears back to the cloud for a moment. So CISA's directive to federal agencies about securing their Microsoft 365 environments, it shows how important cloud security has become, you know, in this day and age.
Right. I mean, the cloud it's like woven into the fabric of our digital lives these days.
Yeah.
But it comes with its own unique set of security challenges.
It does. And government agencies with the sensitive data they handle, the critical systems they run, they're often right on the front lines of those challenges.
They're a prime target for cyber attacks. So it makes sense that CISA's, you know, taking this proactive approach.
Right. Their directive actually outlines specific steps that agencies need to take to secure those Microsoft 365 apps, including, you know, implementing multi-factor authentication, enforcing strong password policies, and configuring those security settings to minimize risks.
Yeah, it's a multi-layered approach, recognizing that there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to security.
And it goes beyond just the technical controls too, right? CISA is emphasizing the importance of training and awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Because they understand that human error is often the weakest link in the chain.
Right, right.
They're really pushing agencies to educate their employees about cybersecurity, you know, how to spot those potential threats and what to do if they encounter something suspicious.
It's a smart move because you could have the most advanced security technology in the world.
Yeah.
But if people are clicking on phishing links or falling for social engineering scams, it doesn't matter.
It's about creating a culture of security.
Right, where everyone's, you know, on board and understands their role in protecting sensitive information.
Exactly. And while this directive is, you know, focused on federal agencies, the lessons here, they apply to organizations of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, whether you're a small business or a giant corporation, cloud security should be top of mind.
For sure. I mean, the cloud isn't just some, you know, magical place where your data lives.
Right.
It's an extension of your network.
Right.
And you're responsible for securing it.
You are. So what can people do to bolster their cloud security?
Well, first, you got to understand what data you have in the cloud and what security measures are already in place to protect it.
Okay. So you need a well-defined cloud security strategy.
You do.
And that strategy should, you know, align with your overall cybersecurity goals.
Absolutely. It's also crucial to partner with reputable cloud providers.
Yeah.
Providers who take security seriously, have those robust security practices in place.
And who are transparent about their security posture.
Yes, absolutely. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, employee training and awareness is non-negotiable.
Right. It's essential.
Your team needs to understand the risks of cloud computing.
And how to mitigate those risks.
It's a shared responsibility that requires, you know, everyone to be on the same page.
All right, let's step back for a second here and look at the bigger picture. These three stories that we've been talking about today, you know, the TP-Link ban, the hacker facing jail time,
yeah.
CISA's cloud security directive.
Right.
They all point to this larger trend of escalating cyber threats.
And a growing recognition that cybersecurity is, you know, it's everyone's problem. It's not just an IT issue anymore.
It's a mainstream concern that affects, I mean, every part of our lives.
It does, from the devices we use.
The organizations we interact with.
And it's only going to become more important as we rely more and more on technology.
Yeah, so what can we do about it?
Well, I think first we need to stop thinking of cybersecurity as somebody else's problem.
Right. Right.
It's a business problem.
It's a societal problem.
It's a problem that demands, you know, a collective effort to solve it.
So we need to raise awareness about the importance of cybersecurity.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to educate ourselves and our employees about the risks.
And we need to invest in the tools and the resources that are necessary to protect ourselves.
But it's not just about technology, right?
No, it's not.
It's about changing our behavior.
Yeah.
Being more mindful about what we click on.
What information we share online.
How we protect our devices.
It's about making security a conscious part of our everyday lives.
And I know that can sound, you know, kind of overwhelming.
It can, but it's a challenge we can overcome if we work together and recognize that cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
I know this can feel like a lot, but remember, you don't have to be a cybersecurity expert to protect yourself.
Right.
There are simple things you can do.
Like using strong passwords.
Enabling multi-factor authentication.
Being aware of those phishing scams.
These small steps can make a huge difference.
They can.
And if you're ever unsure about something, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to your IT department or a trusted security professional.
Right. They're there to help you.
Because ultimately, cybersecurity is about protecting what matters most.
Our data, our privacy, our way of life.
We'll be back after a short message to wrap up today's deep dive with some final thoughts and key takeaways. So stick around. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
We're wrapping up our deep dive today with some key takeaways.
And some food for thought as you navigate this crazy digital world.
So what did we learn today?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the cybersecurity landscape, it's like this constantly shifting, you know, terrain.
It is.
The threats are getting more sophisticated, they're interconnected, and the stakes are higher than ever before.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've seen how governments they're scrambling to try to secure their cloud systems.
Right.
We've seen how hackers are targeting individuals, businesses, governments, everyone. And we've seen how, you know, even those everyday devices like our routers can be caught up in these threats.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity, it's not just an IT problem anymore.
Right. It's a business problem. It's a societal problem. It's a national security problem.
Yeah. And it demands a collective effort to address it.
Mm.
You know, we also saw how individual actions can have these ripple effects across the entire digital ecosystem.
Right. Right.
Think about that hacker, you know, facing jail time for stealing that credit card data.
Right.
His actions didn't just impact the organizations he targeted.
Yeah.
Right. They eroded trust. They compromised sensitive information, and they made the online world a little bit less secure for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. It's a reminder that cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
It is. We all have a role to play in protecting ourselves and our organizations from these threats.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with awareness, you know, understanding the risks, recognizing the potential consequences, and taking steps to mitigate those risks.
Absolutely.
I know it can all seem a bit overwhelming at times.
It can.
But you don't have to be a cybersecurity guru to make a difference.
You don't.
There are simple things that everyone can do to improve their security posture. You know, strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, being aware of those phishing scams. These are all essential.
There.
And if you're ever unsure about something, you know, reach out to your IT department. Reach out to a trusted security professional. They're there to help.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The more you understand about cybersecurity, the better equipped you'll be to protect yourself and your organization.
Yeah.
So stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay ahead of the curve. Because in the world of cybersecurity, the only constant is change.
That's so true.
And the best defense is a good offense.
Well said.
Well, thanks for joining us for another deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. It's always a wild ride.
It is.
We'll be back tomorrow with more news and insights on Cyber Mornings Daily.
Until then, stay safe out there, keep your data secure, and your coffee hot.
See you tomorrow.